a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi, and the name of his two sons Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and her two sons. And they took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth. And they dwelled there about 10 years. And Mahlon and Chilion died, both of them, and the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law, that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited the people in giving them bread. And let's finish on verse 7, and I'll read two other verses to you in a moment here. Ready? Wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her, and they went on the way to return to the land of Judah. And I'll read in the same chapter verses 20 and 21 to you. And she said unto them, call me not Naomi, call me Mara, for the Lord, for the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. Why then call ye me Naomi, seeing the Lord hath testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me? And let's pray. Father, again, we do thank you for the word of God. Thank you how it meets the needs of each and every individual in this room. Now, Holy Spirit of God, I pray that you would rest upon us. Lord, I will fail. There is no way this sinful man could use his own mind and preach your word accurately. I've got to have your help. There's no way I could do it justice, but you could allow the Holy Spirit to work through me, the hearts and the minds of your people today, please. In Jesus' name, amen. And you may be seated. We are still in early spring, and I realize that. I also realize that there are times that timing is everything. There's no way that I could preach this sermon and somebody not say, well, you're talking about me. Yes, I am. All right. There's just no way that I could do this, but I feel our church needs to hear this every once in a while, and I'm going to touch it today. We're about to go into the vacation season here in the next couple months. There's a reason I'm going to preach what I'm preaching. You say, well, I don't care about what just happened. I'm looking out in the future here. I want to help you. This has nothing to do with anything that happened to you this week, next week, last week, 10 months ago, whatever it was, all right? So if you'll just listen with that in mind, this is for everybody, including the preacher, all right? Say, how do you keep yourself right? I listen to preaching every day of my life virtually. And when I preach up here, I'm preaching to me. You think it's hard on you, you ought to have to listen to yourself all the time. It's rough, amen? Now, here's the story. Let me catch you up, and then I will preach this morning. Elimelech and Naomi live in a place called Bethlehem, Judah. You'll find out that term Bethlehem, Judah, later they drop the term Judah and it becomes the city of just Bethlehem. Now, we know the city of Bethlehem is a place of God's blessing. Matter of fact, the word Bethlehem, Judah means house of bread, means house of plenty. And as in all places, life is not all good all the time. Things in life go in ebb and flow, success and failure, and up times and down times, and lean times and prosperous times. And Bethlehem was going through one of those little famines, those little turn times, as you will. And Elimelech and Naomi decided things are rough here. Let's go somewhere else and visit. They visited a place called Moab. And by the way, the issue isn't where they went. It was the fact that they went, and they went to, they left the place of blessing to go somewhere else. Now, there's something interesting about this. They did not necessarily leave to go stay. If you look at the Bible, in verse number 1, it says they went to sojourn. That word sojourn means vacation. It means to go spend a little time. The word sojourn actually means, it's why the hotel industry often puts their hotels right beside the highway. It means a place of stopping along the highway. And they literally went there to go visit, to escape the famine, the hard times of the house of plenty. You'll notice later it says in verse 2 at the very end, and they continued there. Verse number 4, the last line or so, says, and they dwelled there about 10 years. The term dwell means they bought a house. They built a home there. So they went from vacation to living there. Now, these were probably middle-aged people. Naomi and Elimelech would be what we would call middle-aged folks. Say, how do you know? They had two sons, and they only had two sons. They were nearing the age of marrying age. They were probably, in comparison, about like my wife and I. My wife and daughter just sang, and she is our youngest. I was going to say baby, but I get in trouble when I say that. But she's my youngest. I've got one that's 22, 23. I don't know how old he is. Good night. Hatched so long ago, who cares, right? But he's at Bible college, and he's getting married this July, and we'll fly down to Florida for the wedding for a couple days and come back so I can be back for church on Sunday night, amen, or Sunday church. But he'll be getting married. God bless Ruth Ann. She's taking on a mission project, amen. And but he's getting a fine young lady. My other son is 19, and may I say this, we're in that middle age category. And I'm not sure I like that, because I know what the next age is and I don't want it. But I just have decided to accept it. Now, Elimelech and Naomi had two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, and they decided to go to a place called Moab. They were going to visit. They decided they liked what they saw, so they would continue there for a while. And it ends up that Elimelech died while they were there. The Bible then says the boys had to take care of mama, and they married daughters from Moab. Now, I want you to notice, they didn't get wives from their country. They got wives from the world. The Bible says that her two sons end up dying. Don't get mad at me when I say this, but one of them married a young lady named Ruth. The other one married a young lady named Orpah. That's not a fat black lady on TV either, okay? Or skinny or fat or whatever she is, whenever she is. But but her name was Orpah, and they were married. Mom is devastated. Now, wait a minute. Not only have her sons married daughters that are not like what they are, then her sons die. So now her husband is dead. Her sons have married girls that are unlike what they're used to. Then both of her sons die. All in a 10-year period. All in a 10-year period. There sits Naomi without a husband, without her two married sons, and she says, I left the house of plenty. I left the place of God's blessing. I'm going to get back. She sat her daughters-in-law down and said, look, I don't have more sons for you to marry. Even if I got married now and had more children, if I could, that's dumb, but if I could, you wouldn't wait around for them to be old enough to marry. It just go and be on your way. You're released from your responsibilities of me. Orpah did that. Ruth said, no, I'll go back with you. If you're going to go to a place of blessing, I'd like to go with you. And they did. Now, listen to this. Naomi and Ruth head back to Bethlehem. This is the same city that in just a few years, David will set up as the throne of Israel. This is the same place that is prophesied where Jesus will be born. This is the same city that God has placed a special blessing on. 10 years have passed since she's been there. As she comes into town, people begin to talk. Did you ever notice people in the Bible are no different than people today? Doesn't matter what happens, people are talking about it. Everybody knows as it's taking place. And they didn't even have cell phones in Facebook, or is that the right one? I don't know. They didn't even have all that. You see, Naomi means beautiful. As she comes back, people said, "Who's that?" And they said, "We heard Naomi's coming back." But when she came back and people started talking, they said, "What happened? That's not the same lady that left 10 years ago. She left beautiful. She left the house of bread, the house of plenty, the blessing of God beautiful. She's coming back different." Naomi hears the chatter. You know, folks, if you've got to talk in private about something, generally it's not good. And if you're talking about somebody else, usually it's not good. And it's amazing how people find out that you're talking behind their back. You see, you can't keep it quiet. Why should the person you're talking to keep it quiet? Everybody doing okay? Okay. We would use the word gossip. They're gossiping. They're talking about, well, you say, well, they weren't lying. Gossip isn't necessarily lying. It's just talking negative about somebody. Amen. Yes. Naomi speaks up and says, "I hear you talking. I know what you're whispering about. Yes, it's me, but don't call me Naomi anymore. Call me Mara." Now, the word Mara means bitter. It also means, I thought this was interesting, it means to lash oneself with wings like an ostrich. It means to rebel or lift oneself up. Tomorrow morning starts turkey hunting in West Virginia. Tomorrow morning the woods will be filled with people like me and my dad. They'll be sitting there all camoed up going, "Dop, dop, 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 dop," waiting for a big turkey to fly down, and he's going to take his tail feathers and spread them out like a fan, puff himself out and strut around. That's what the word Mara means. It means to lift oneself and fill yourself with air and beat your wings together and say, "Look at me, look at me." That's exactly what Mara means. She said, "I left beautiful, but I came back full of pride, and it's caught up with me. It's caught up with me." Naomi admits she rebelled in leaving, because that's what the word Mara means. It means I left in rebellion. Now, listen to me very carefully. She says, "I left full and came back empty." Wow. I left full and I came back empty. I want to help you not be a Mara. My sermon title today is this: Naomi or Mara? Naomi or Mara? I don't want you to be like Mahlon or Chilion. I don't want you to be like Elimelech. I don't want you to become an Orpah. I want you to be able to stay in the house of bread, the house of plenty, the blessing of God, and have it your whole life. I don't want you to wander back years from now bitter, ugly, and empty. I want you to enjoy a full life. I want you to enjoy the blessings of God in your life. I want you to be able to have God's hand on your life. Let me help you this morning. Number one, Ruth decided to leave and visit outside the house of bread when hard times came. Folks, I want you to notice something, and I said this in my introduction. I will restate it now. Did you ever notice life goes in ebb and flow, goes in waves? You have good health for a while, and then you get sick. You have good finances a while, and they get sick. You have children that obey for a minute, and then they turn back to what they were. Y'all know what I'm talking about. They go in waves. Everything goes in waves. Someone once said it this way: all sunshine makes a desert. That's true. Too many Christians want to have all sunshine and no rain. But without that rain, you will have no growth. You've got to have the sunshine and you must have the rain. You've got to have the hot weather, but you need the cool weather as well. You've got to have the balance of both. Now, hard times are never a reason to leave the house of blessing. I am so surprised at people that make their decisions based on circumstances.
Yes, sir.
People change churches and change locations like some people change their clothes. Once it starts getting a little tough and starts getting a little ragged, it's time to get rid of it and get something else. Folks, we're not supposed to make our decisions based on how easy or how hard it is.
Amen.
I'm going to make some tough statements here, so hang in there. Who are you going to take away from the blessing of God because things got tough? Will you take your children places they should not go because things got tough? The lost world makes no sense to me. Guy gets in trouble at work or loses his job or gets in a fight with his wife. First thing he wants to do is go get drunk. Now that doesn't make sense to me. Why anybody in the world wants to pour something down your throat that you know is going to make you stupider and make you throw up does not make sense to me. You know, that if you want to throw up, just get a bottle of syrup of Ipecac and take a spoonful. You can throw up and not feel as bad. Why make yourself so stupid in the process? It doesn't make sense. You know, what is getting drunk going to fix? You know, the world's ability to make decisions sometimes amazes me. They went to a place called Moab. Now, listen to me very carefully. Moab is, most of you would not either remember or know what Moab was. When Lot left Sodom, and his wife turned to a pillar of salt. He had two adult daughters that went with him. He had an incestuous relationship with both of them. And one of the children born from his own daughter, his name was Moab. And began the city of the Moabites. Folks, it didn't start real well. Elimelech and Naomi went to a place called Moab to visit. Be careful where you go on vacation. May I say that? I'm for families going on vacation. I enjoy vacation with my family. Last year we went to Maine. Forgot where we went. We went way up there. Amen. We were up with the maniacs. We had never been to that part of the country, and I'd been all over this country. I've been in just about every state in the main 48, but I had not been up in the New England area, and I had some friends up there, and preached for Brother Seavey and Brother Rick Walter while we were up there and just had a good time. Ate some lobster and all that kind of good stuff. Amen? You betcha. And we enjoyed that. Can I tell you something? I enjoyed being there, but there's no way I want to move there. Say, have you ever been to Las Vegas? I went to Las Vegas one time. Can I tell you why? It was about $800 cheaper to get a moving truck to get out of L.A., so I drove to Las Vegas, picked up a moving truck, drove back to L.A., loaded my truck, and moved from L.A. to Charleston, South Carolina. You say, is it a sin to go to Las Vegas on vacation? I don't think it's a sin, but I don't think it's the wisest thing in the world for you to do. I'm just going to be quite honest with you. Everybody doing okay? Why go to a place that's known as Sin City? What's there for you and your family? And by the way, and I realize business takes you there from time to time and this, that, and the other thing. I'm not saying you're sinful if you go there. You're sinful no matter where you go because you're a sinner just like me. But why put yourself in a place of temptation?
Right. Yes. Amen.
Everybody doing okay? Okay. By the way, let me say this. Prosperity doesn't always mean it's God's will. You have a group of, and I'll call them religious people, they use what they call the prosperity gospel. As long as everything is going right, you're in the middle of God's will. Tell that to Jesus Christ. How much went right with him? He ran for his life for 33 years. They were trying to kill him the moment he was born. He ran, he hid, he lived a perfect life. And they ended up crucifying him. Sounds like it ended up pretty good for him, huh? Foxes have holes, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. He was homeless. Some would look at the life of Jesus Christ and say he wasn't very prosperous. And yet those are the very people that say, as long as everything's good, I'm going to stay and do what's right. But the moment it gets tough, They're going to change because God must not be in it. Can I tell you something? The Bible says it rains on the just and the unjust. And just because it's all going good, by the way, the world will tell you everything's going good for them. If you look at Las Vegas, they'll tell you everything's going good, but do you want that kind of prosperity? Maybe we ought to understand what prosperity is. And let me remind you, all sunshine makes a desert.
Yes.
Let me give you a statement here. I hope this burns deeply into your mind. Backsliding comes when a person does not schedule the duty that follows the love. Backsliding comes when a person does not schedule the duty after the love. When I decided I loved my wife 27-ish years ago. This June 24th, we will have been married 25 years. 27 years ago or so when we began dating and I realized I loved her. If I just told her I loved her and let it be, guess what? That's selfishness. There was a duty to schedule after that. When I told my wife that I loved her the first time, I said this. I said, Debbie, I'm going to say this, but it will take me a lifetime to prove it. I love you. And I did. I said, it will take a lifetime. It'll take the rest of my life to prove that I mean this. Well, I got about 26 years or plus trying to prove it. Hopefully by another 30, I'll end up making it known. Amen. Can I tell you something? Backsliding comes when you don't use the character and the schedule to follow the love that you have. That's why a man or a woman will cheat on their spouse. That's why a parent will mistreat a child. They have love, but they don't have the character scheduled with it to back it up. Everybody doing okay? Struggle is a part of life. Strength is a result of struggle. If there is no struggle, there is no strength. You teenage boys that think you're the modern coming of Charles Atlas, the Incredible Hulk, or in case of Brother Jerry, the Incredible Bulk. But you think that you're going to get strong, and you start lifting weights. You pick up your fork twice. Amen? But you'll start off with light weights and you start lifting. You don't get strong till you become weak. You have to have resistance. The lifting of weight means this. Gravity is pushing that weight against you and you must push it out away from you against gravity. It takes struggle to get stronger. By the way, that's why America's weak, because we quit working. The more you work, the stronger you get. Your mind gets weak when you quit working it. Your body gets weak when you quit working it. And by the way, your emotions get weak when you quit working them. in 11 hours, I was with two families that lost loved ones. Do you know, I'm glad I could weep with both families. Say, you cry? Yeah, I cry. My heart was broke for Ellen and Julianne yesterday. It was. My heart was broken for Bobby's family, Brother Jimmy. It was. But can I tell you something? In the next moment, I was rejoicing that they were walking streets of gold. Their pain was gone, never to have pain again. And one of them, Brother Jimmy, now I got to win to Christ. Woo! Brother Jimmy, my daddy was with me. He'll testify. I walked in, and Bobby recognized me just for a little bit. He wasn't able to respond a whole lot. I said, squeeze my finger, and he kind of like this. I said, not sure you meant that, Bobby. Do it again. He did it the second time, so I knew he was listening. I said, hey, Doc, I said, you're probably going to get to see Jesus before I do. Will you tell him I love him? Will you tell him I love him? Would you give him a hug for me? Whew. Say, why? Because he was going to get there before I did, as far as I was planning, amen? Now, wait a minute. I could have left and gone to heaven before he got there. But either way, Jesus got a hug. I'm glad I was able to be there. I'm glad I was able to work those emotions. I don't know about you, but those situations are hard. They're hard on your emotions. But you need those hard things so that you can help people that go through those things as you go farther and farther in life. Boy, that's a good statement. By the way, sometimes you're going to face spiritual battles. You must face spiritual battle to get stronger spiritually. Love without duty is not love. It's total selfishness. Fellas, if you marry a young lady or middle-aged lady or however old you were when you got married, when you marry a lady, you can love her, but listen to this, if you do it without duty, listen to this, it's selfishness. You want to have a wife, but if you're not going to follow the rules and the duty of being a husband, she's just a play toy for you, you don't love her. A marriage without duty is selfishness. By the way, a church that has just a bunch of nondescript rituals and rules without love is worthless. I don't care what name's attached to it. Everybody doing all right?
Yes.
Okay. By the way, being a parent without duty is selfishness. You want the honor of having passed down generations your name, but you don't want to train them. That's selfishness. You know, I'm glad right now I got a boy that's preaching to a park full of people. He got so many on his bus route, and they're so far from the church that the preacher said, why don't you just run your bus two or three times, pump them to the park, and you preach to them on Sunday instead of bringing them all the way up here. At 10 o'clock this morning, I got a text that between Sunday school and church, I checked my phone. He said, Dad, first load dropped 55 off going back for round two. He said, and there's people driving to the park just to see what's going on. He said, we're going to have a big one. Can I tell you something? That's love with duty. Because the next text said, Dad, thanks for raising me right. I'll be honest with you. I almost couldn't handle that one. Can I tell you something? It works. Now, there was days I wanted to choke him. Recently. Now, wait a minute. Can I tell you something? Their love has duty attached. But when you do the duty, the love goes real deep. And may I say this, Naomi went to visit. They liked what they saw, so they continued and lived there 10 years. Next, Naomi allowed the goodness of vacation to become what she wanted to live. This is an earth-shattering statement. You ready? This will change your life. Who doesn't like vacation? Who does not like vacation? That means you don't have work with you. You may have taken it with you, but you don't have the responsibility of doing it. there's almost no pressure. You're doing things you normally don't get to do. And you have extra time with the people that you love most. Who doesn't like vacation? You know, I'm gonna make a statement about this story of Naomi and Elimelech and things here. There was only a famine going on in Bethlehem. In Moab, she lost her husband and her two sons. There were hard times in Bethlehem. She lost her husband and her two sons in Moab. Which one's harder? Oh, I enjoyed being in Maine last summer. I got to preach in two churches. And I don't mean this the wrong way, but please be kind when I say this. You get treated real nice that way. People that don't know you treat you real nice. You could get used to that, but may I say that? Say this, if I go there 10 years later, it's not going to be any different there than it is here. Everybody doing all right?
Yes.
Okay. You know, things got worse in Moab than the famine back home. Do you know that that famine didn't last 10 years? You know that that famine was over shortly after they left? But they continued. She lost her husband. Then she lost her son. Then she lost her other son. Huh. Her vacation cost three lives, and she had to tell her sons' wives to leave her because she was going back and didn't have the wherewithal to take care of them. Well, it's getting hard, and my job's getting tough. Who doesn't have a tough job? I'm going to make a statement. Fellas, ladies, work's not supposed to be easy. Work means you're getting through problems. You just don't understand where I work. You'd be surprised what I understand. Can I tell you something? Who said work was supposed to always be easy? Well, you're supposed to love your job. No, you're supposed to love what you do, not love your job. My dad and I were coming back from up seeing Bobby up in Pennsylvania the other day, Brother Jimmy. And I told my dad, I said, Dad, I love comforting people and helping people, but I hate that situation. I don't like that situation. But I love being there to help people and tell them I love them. I was standing over Bobby's bed as he was just hours from death. His dad and his sister were standing across the bed from me. I had talked about heaven. I had never met his sister before. I called her by name. There lays her brother dying, 28 years old. I said, he's going to heaven. She said, I know. There's that card right there that he wanted by his bed all the time. I have a little thing I do when I win someone to Christ. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I put on 3x5 card. It's a geometry term. It's the definition of a line. No matter how many lines intercept it before or after, that line continues forever. That geometry term for the definition of the word line is the word shall in the Greek. It means it starts here, continues forever. I put Bobby's name in the date he trusted Christ as a Savior at the dot, put the arrow, and they have kept that at his bedside and at arm's distance the entire time he's been saved. It was taped this close to his face in his room in Pennsylvania as he was dying. I looked at his sister. I said, he's going to heaven. He'll be there soon. Let me ask you a question. Do you know for sure you're going? Now, you talk about captive audience, there it is. Say, you're awful bold. I wanted her because I knew she loved him, make sure she knew she was going to heaven someday. I wanted her to see her brother again when she gets to heaven.
Yes.
By the way, Bobby said, make sure everybody knows. Hey. So I did. I asked as his mom came in and his stepdad came in. And I don't know who else was in that room that was there, but I asked them all. While he was lying on his deathbed, over his body, I asked them if they knew for sure they were going to heaven. Can I tell you something? I enjoy comforting people. That makes heaven that much sweeter. Makes eternity that much easier. No, losing a loved one is not easy. But may I say this? I love helping people. I don't enjoy that situation, but I enjoy helping people. You don't have to love every aspect of your job, but you ought to love work. Boy, that's good stuff. Yeah. Lastly, and I must hurry, please, this is the whole point right here. Ruth left full and came back empty. I want you to notice verse 21. The Bible says that when I went out full and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. Wow. She said, I left full and came back empty. Listen to this. She thought she was empty when she left. She left a famine thinking she was empty. Spent 10 years in Moab and came back and said, I left full and I'm coming back totally empty. What she thought was emptiness became fullness. She did not realize what she had till she left it. Whew. Emptiness in God's will is fullness outside His will. Can I tell you something? The moment you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior and you know for sure you're going to heaven, do you know that the best day you have down here is not as good as the worst day you'll have in heaven? Do you realize that people that are dying and going to hell that are not saved, the best that they have is what's here? The only thing they have to look forward to is hell. This is all the goodness they'll ever get. That's why the philosophy, eat, drink, and be merry. Say why? Because this is all they have to live for. Can I tell you something? There's a place called heaven. And there's an awful lot better things to live for. Sin steals what you want and makes you bitter so that you cannot enjoy what you really wanted. The Bible says she left beautiful, came back bitter. She thought she knew what she wanted, but when she got what she thought she wanted, it wasn't what she wanted. The taste of sin is bitter. The Bible uses a term in Jeremiah. It was sweet to my mouth, but bitterness in my stomach. That alcohol may be good at first, but it becomes bitter. And you don't hear much preaching on this anymore, but I'm not afraid of it. Those cigarettes may have tasted good at one time, but they become bitter eventually. Immorality may taste good for a while, but it becomes bitter. Living just for money and for things is good for a while, but then it becomes bitter. By the way, sin causes you to look back and wonder, what if? Can I tell you something? I don't live one moment of my life saying, what if? I wonder if. I wonder what would have been had I. Say why? I can't go back there and change it anyway. Why waste my time thinking about it? I don't want to live in a what if world. I want to live in what's coming. Have you ever tried to walk a mile with your head turned around the wrong direction? You're not going to get there. My wife and I are walking every day. I'm walking about 2 miles a day. She's walking in the morning and in the evening. I'm just walking in the evenings. You say why? I'm too tired. I don't have as much character as she has. Can I tell you this? If I walk with my head this way, we're not going to get very far. I'm on trip, fall, pull her down, everything else. Too many people live their life with their head turned around backwards. You're looking at where you've been, not where you're going. I learned a long time ago, I started walking when I was 7 months old, Mom. I was, you know what, on feet real early in life, amen? My dad and mom been chasing me for a long time. But I learned eventually, you don't turn around, see where you were, you look where you're going. Oh, I remember as a young child, my dad saying, turn around, look where you're going, not where you've been. Say why? Because, man, I'd step on his feet, run into his legs, trip over somebody else, knock somebody down, run into somebody else. Oh, he'd get mad at me for that. I remember as I was training Josh, my oldest, he started walking. I said, son, look where you're going, not where you've been. I thought, where did that come from? Heard that before in my life sometime. Sin causes you to look back and wonder if. Some of you, you're living in your past. You're looking in your past, hoping to have it in your future. Your past won't be in your future. Amen. Won't happen. Some of you that are my age say, boy, wished I could go back and be a teenager again. No, you don't. Amen. No, you don't. No, you don't. Quit longing for what's not reality. Let me make this statement. This breaks my heart. Do you realize that 3/4 of that family never got back? They left full and only one came back. The others were too empty to even make it back. My wife and I were walking last night and I shared this part of the sermon with her last night. I said, do you realize in the ministry, that's just about the true percentage? Of 100 people that leave, maybe 25% make it back. Maybe. When you leave the place of blessing, it's amazing how about only 25% make it back. The other 3/4 are just gone. Gone. Ruth was the only one to make it back. And by the way, when she made it back, she was totally empty. Matter of fact, Ruth was so empty that they did not recognize her. Sin and the hardness of her life had aged her so badly that people did not even recognize her. We were somewhere, in the last year or two, I met a man, no lie. He had snow white hair, had a beard, snow white. And I thought he was about my dad's age, about 126. I thought he was in his late 60s, early 70s. I said, Doc, and I called him by name. I was meeting him, and I said, how old are you? He was the same age I was. He was having two knees replaced and working on getting a hip replaced. I walked away and said, hon, how old do you think that fellow was? She said, he had to be close to 70. I said, he's our age. He's, no way. I said, yeah. She said, wow. I said, he's lived a tough life. He's lived a tough life. Can I tell you something? Living in sin is harder on you. Living in all that pressure of sin is hard on a person. It's hard on you physically. It's hard on you emotionally. It's hard on you spiritually. Why don't you get out from underneath it? By the way, Ruth went with her. Say, yeah, but there is a saving grace. Ruth came out of this. And had Ruth not heard about the house of blessing, we would not have her. Ruth only became the grandmother to King David because they got back to the place where God could bless. Ruth was the father of a man named Jesse, who was the father of King David. Do you realize that Naomi was the great-grandmother of King David? And he never mentions her. Naomi was the great-grandmother of King David, and she's not even mentioned. I talked to my mom early this morning, and they were talking about my niece's son, which is their great-grandchild. She was telling me some of the ornery things he was doing, and we were laughing about it. And I thought to myself, I knew what I was preaching. I didn't say anything to her. I wonder what they said about great-grandma Naomi. I talked to my grandmother yesterday afternoon. She's 96 years old. My daughter heard me talking to her, and she hollers in the phone, "Hey, Grandma!" Say, why? Because we love her. But I wonder if King David ever said, "Hey, Grandma Great, how are you?" Or if she was just still bitter. She left full, came back empty. And God only blessed Ruth because Naomi got her back to the place of blessing. Can I tell you something? Get back to the place of blessing. Get back to the place of blessing. Let me ask you a question. Do you want to be a Ruth or a Naomi or a Mara? Do you want to be a Naomi or a Mara? Vacations and time away, not wrong. By the way, I'm for it. By the way, let me just say this. I think families ought to take vacations together, not separately. Boy, that's not preached anymore. But running to live to a place you visited might not be reality. It may cause emptiness, bitterness, and death. You may even lose your family over it. Don't leave the blessing of God because of hard times. Stay even during the hard times. Can I tell you something? Because it's still the house of blessing. The house of blessing. Today, if you're not sure you're going to heaven, you could know that for sure. Can I tell you where the house of blessing is? In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Wow. I don't know a more blessed place than heaven. Ellen, yesterday morning, we watched Mama take her last breath here, but you know what? She took a big old gulp of that air in heaven, and she met up with her husband and others. She got to see Jesus, and no more pain. 2 weeks ago, she sat right back there. 2-3 weeks ago. She's fine. She's fine. Say why? She's at the house of blessing. We'd like you to know for sure you're going to the house of blessing. Let me ask you a question. Are you guilty of turning around in life and getting bitter, getting angry, living in the past? Let's get back to the house of blessing. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Who would say, Brother Bush, with your heads bowed, your eyes closed, if I died today, I know 100% sure I'd go to heaven. I don't have any doubt at all. Would you raise your hand? You can put your hands down. God bless you. I'll not embarrass you. I'll not call you out. I'll not do anything different to you than I just did with these folks. But who would say, Brother Bush, if I died today, I'm not 100% sure I'd go to heaven. I'm not asking you to join this church. I'm not asking you to go through some ritual. I'm just asking you a question. Who would say, I do not know for sure I'd go to heaven if I died today? Would you raise your hand? God bless you. Somebody else? We have some little ones. God bless you. Parents, be cautious with them. If you don't know for sure, in a moment, we'll stand to our feet. The music will play. You come to this altar. We'll take a Bible and show you how you can know for sure. Who'd say, Brother Bush, I just need to get back to the house of blessing, or I'm going to make a decision to stay in the place of blessing in my life. Would you raise your hand? Oh, my soul. Scores and scores and scores of hands.